Well, after all that singing, let me give you just a bit of a rest before we sing our closing carol. I just want to speak for a few minutes this morning about some of the words in that last reading that we had. And it's words that the angel said to the shepherds on the hillside. You know, the shepherds were a funny bunch of people to get the first news of Jesus' birth. Being a shepherd wasn't the best job in the world. Now, you might find that difficult to believe, but that's true. It was unsocial hours. There was always danger from bandits or wild animals, not to mention always smelling like sheep. So shepherds didn't come from the upper classes. They weren't the most important people in society. They weren't even particularly religious. But the first people to hear that Jesus was born were not then the great and the good. They weren't religious people, but they were average Joes, just like you and me. The message of Christmas, the news of Jesus' birth, is for ordinary, normal, everyday people like us. Well, what message did the angel give to the shepherds that night? Well, once the angel had calmed them down a bit, because let's face it, as you can imagine, they were pretty much scared out of their wits when they first saw the angel. He says that he brought them good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. In the nearby town of Bethlehem, a baby has been born. Now, the birth of a baby nearly always is good news. It brings lots of joy and happiness. So much so that we even call babies, don't we, bundles of joy. I'm not sure that's quite what they're called at 3:30 in the morning when they won't sleep. But most of the time, they are bundles of joy. Generally, family and friends, as well as parents, are delighted to hear the news that someone they know has had a baby. Here's a picture of the Earl and the Countess of Wessex with their new baby. I can't remember the name. Anybody know the name of the baby yet? James. James, thank you. So, they look pretty happy in this picture. They're just coming out of hospital, I think, here. But even royal babies like this one, they have a bit of a limit to the joy that they can bring us. They might make us smile as we look at the picture, but I don't suppose in a month's time it will have made an awful lot of difference to us that little James has come into the world. But the birth of the baby of Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus, was different. Notice what the angel said. His message is good news of great joy that will be for all the people. All the people. Everyone. Even those of us here today would have reason to be glad that Jesus had been born. And I wonder if you've ever appreciated that Jesus' birth is good news for you. Have you ever thought about why we celebrate his birthday year after year? Why is it that the story of the baby in the manger has had songs written about it? Why is it that it's acted out? Why is it that it is told time and again? Is it just because it's a nice story? We like the news about the stable and no room at the inn and the great exciting cast of angels and shepherds and wise men. Is that the reason? Or is it because people down through the ages have understood, as the angel said, that his birth was good news? Even more than that, it is the best news ever. Good news of great joy. Do you know today that Jesus coming into the world is good news for you, personally? Or do you think it's just a bit of a nice tradition? Something to get out at Christmas, along with the other decorations. But nothing that really affects my life. Well, why should Jesus' birth be such good news for us? Why should his arrival make such a difference? Well, the angel goes on to explain. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. Jesus' birth was good news because he was to be a saviour. I wonder if you recognise this man. It's not the clearest picture of him, but this man is Fabio Capello. I expect we're going to be seeing a lot of him over the next few months. He's the new England football manager. And the FA are hoping that Fabio Capello will be the saviour of the England football team, that he will turn things around, that he will pull the team up out of the doldrums, that he will get them qualified for the 2010 World Cup. Fabio Capello has got a tough job on his hands, but he is hoped to be the saviour of the England football team. And saviour is really somebody who rescues, somebody who can retrieve a situation, one to sort out the difficulties, one who can turn what is failing into what is good. But what kind of rescue do we need from Jesus? Are we talking about sport? Are we talking about politics or business? Is he going to be a saviour for those kind of things? Well, it's none of those, but it's something deeper and something even harder to fix than those things. I wonder if you've ever seen this film, The Muppet Christmas Carol. On my top 10 list of films, The Muppet Christmas Carol features in the top 5. It's based on the novel, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and the main character of the book is seen there at the bottom, dressed all in black. It is Ebenezer Scrooge. Most of you will know that Scrooge was a miser. He was mean. He was miserable. He was unkind. He was selfish. He was driven by greed. And on Christmas Eve night, he's confronted by 4 ghosts who show him what he's really like. And by the time the dawn arrives, he is a changed man. Well, I think that all of us have a bit of the character of Ebenezer Scrooge in us. We might not be the meanest person, but all of us, from time to time, are unkind, we're selfish, and we're unthoughtful, even to those we care most about. At Christmas, we all try, don't we, to be a bit nicer. Goodwill to men and all that kind of thing. We give some money to children in need. We help other worthwhile causes. And all of that's to the good, but what are we like the rest of the year? As we look back over 2007, our own personal review of the year, how do we shape up? Have we got regrets about things that we've said? Does conscience trouble us about things that we've said that were unkind? I'm not saying at all that I'm any different. All of us, I think, have this struggle, this tendency to act and behave like Scrooge. But worst of all, we seem unable to change no matter how hard we try. We put on our best behaviour on Christmas Day, don't we, with the awkward in-laws, but we struggle to change the rest of the time. We may turn over a new leaf at New Year, but we don't really make ourselves any better. We constantly disappoint ourselves and others, let alone the God who made us. And God knows this. He knows that we are rotten at our core. There's no fooling God today as to what we're like. And so he sent Jesus into the world to sort it out, to be the rescuer. Here is the heart of the good news today. Jesus came to be a saviour, not in sport, not in politics, but the saviour who deals with our hearts, what we're like inside. The man who can change everything and make us the people we were designed to be. But let's hold it right there. Jesus as a saviour. What confidence can we have that Jesus is the answer to our problems? What qualifies Jesus to be the rescuer? Well, let's look next at what the angel said. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Jesus, you see, was no ordinary child. Although he was fully human, he was also fully God. He was more than a mere man. He was also the King of Heaven. That tiny little bundle in Mary's arms, wrapped up in some simple blankets, was also Almighty God come in the flesh. As the angel announced to the shepherds, he was Christ the Lord. God saw the state that we were in. He saw the situation. And instead of sending a delegate, instead of just sending an ambassador, He stepped into time and space, and he came himself, and he clothed himself with skin and bone. A man was working in a local postal sorting office at Christmas time. Tragically, a couple of months earlier, his wife had been killed in a car accident. He was going through some of the lost mail and he was redirecting it. And he opened one letter to Santa Claus. And he noticed as he opened that letter that the address at the top was his own address. Looking at the bottom of the letter, he saw his only daughter's signature. The letter read, "Dear Santa, my mummy died 2 months ago and every night my daddy comes home and he cries. He says only eternity will heal him. Please send a bit of eternity for my dad this Christmas." You know, God has sent all of us a little bit of eternity. And more than that, the Lord of heaven himself. Jesus is qualified to be Saviour because he is everlasting Father, mighty God, as one of our readings said earlier. Is that not good news today, that the God who could have washed his hands of us has sent us the very best and the very first Christmas present, his only Son? Perhaps you're here today and you're not really looking forward much to Christmas. You find it a bit of a lonely time. Nobody seems too bothered about you. You know, friend, God loves you so much this morning. In fact, he loves you so much that he gave his only Son to you. Jesus left the palaces of heaven for the filth and the dirt of a stable. And all because of God's love and determination to rescue you. Well, we need to hurry on to a close. But there's just one more thing to ask. How does Jesus coming into the world change anything? It's all very well God making this big gesture and sending his Son, but how does that really help us? Well, the angels sang praises to God. Did you notice what they said? "On earth, peace to men on whom his favour rests." We said earlier that you and I have so much to regret about the way that we live. But truth be told, it is worse than that. Those things that we're embarrassed about and ashamed of, those things make us unfit for God's company. We end up God's enemies as a result. And Jesus came to earth to make peace between us and God. During the First World War, the English and the Germans were lined up against one another in the trenches. Day after day, they fought against one another. But it got to one Christmas day during the war, and those soldiers who'd been firing bullets across at one another, they laid down their weapons, they walked out into no man's land, and they started to play football against one another, and they exchanged gifts. For one brief day, they were no longer enemies, but they were friends. The next day, though, they were back in the trenches, shooting again at one another. The trouble was that temporary ceasefire had not solved the real problem. The war had not been resolved. Sometimes people think that Jesus came to preach peace and to just be a sort of peacemaker, to bring a temporary ceasefire. But he didn't do that. He did more than that. He came to make peace, and to do that through his death on a Roman cross. He came to resolve the problem of our wrongdoing so we could be back in relationship with God and live at peace with one another. The story that starts with a crib ends with a cross. Christmas only makes sense with Easter. Jesus' death was what he was born for. You and I are born to live. Christ was born to die. And at the cross was where the rescue took place. At the cross, God took the sin of the world, the sin of our lives, and he placed it on Jesus. And Jesus there was punished instead of us. And peace was made with God. The problem of our wrongdoing was resolved. As a little card I saw recently said, the first Christmas present, Jesus Christ, was hung on a tree. And as he was, he rescued us. Surely that is good news of great joy. All of our wrongdoing can be wiped away through Jesus' death. Isn't that the greatest Christmas present that we can imagine? I don't know what you're looking forward to for Christmas when you open your presents on Christmas Day. I think my favourite present as a kid was a snooker table. I played snooker all the time. I loved it. I played with it loads. It made me very happy. But friend, that is nothing compared to the joy of knowing that Jesus has died to deal with my past and my present and my future. Christ has gained me peace with God. I'm now back in relationship with him. The problem of my sin is no longer a problem because Jesus has dealt with it. What about you today? Wouldn't you like the best Christmas present ever to have a guilty conscience made clean and to know forgiveness and to be back in friendship with God? Let's just end with the shepherds. They had heard the good news. They'd heard it all from the angels. It was great news. And what did they do? Well, thanks very much, Mr. Angel, for telling us that. But I've got these sheep to look after. I'm just going to go and get back sorting out the sheep. They really need me at this time of year. They did the only thing that made any sense at all. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about. This morning we have heard the good news of great joy. Jesus came into the world to save men and women and boys and girls like us. And what are you going to do with that news? Are you going to pack it away with the Christmas decorations after Christmas? Are you going to put Jesus back on the side with your Christmas cards? Are you going to shut him out and say, there's just no room for him in my life? Or are you going to go to him and ask for his forgiveness and have your life changed, to have your life transformed, and that forever? Then it really will be a very happy Christmas indeed. Well, I trust you all have a very happy Christmas and a peaceful new year as you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord.